What up, what up, what up, what up, what up? We are back on the road to WrestleMania coming down next weekend. And also in the heart of March Madness, everybody's bracket should be good and busted by now. So we can go ahead and get into what we want to talk about today. You know, being how we're on the road to WrestleMania next in 2 weeks, or next weekend is WrestleMania weekend, nights one and two for WWE. So we figured we'd reminisce about our past favorite WrestleManias and WrestleMania matches. And I guess I'll go ahead and start because I would assume that Jaybird's gonna choose the same one that I do because the first one's always the best. You always have your first memories of your first WrestleMania. You are always locked in your memory, and especially when that WrestleMania was WrestleMania 17. I mean, you couldn't have picked a better. I should say, I couldn't have talked my dad into a better WrestleMania to finally getting us. Back in the day, when you had to pay the call in the cable operator, give him the card for that $60. And get your WrestleMania show. And WrestleMania 17 was just obviously it goes without saying, it's a lot of people's favorites. Obviously it's mine for the first WrestleMania that I witnessed on TV, I should say. I've never been to a WrestleMania. That'd be one of those moments where it's like, oh yeah, I hit the lottery. I won't say nothing, but there'll be definitely signs. But I definitely have to say that my favorite matches in there. I mean, I gotta say, Rock and Austin 2 at 17 was my all-time favorite match. TLC 2 with the Dudleys, Hardys, Edge and Christian was just stuff that I've never seen before and never even dreamt of or thought of before happening in a ladder match. I mean, they were so innovative in what they did. Jeff, I mean, there's that video they show constantly every year around this time of Jeff dangling up there holding onto the belts and Edge spearing him right down from it. I mean, the insanity of that was awesome. And then you even had the what was the battle royal? The gimmick battle royal where they brought back all the old timer guys like Hacksaw Jim Duncan, Iron Sheik, like those guys. That was the Bushwhackers. Those guys were like the first time Buddy Love was even in it, like the first time I've ever seen them, you know, because they were mainly around in the 80s. And by the time I started watching, I never got to see them live. So I mean, yeah, they were past their primes, but it was still really cool to see, like my dad telling me, oh, that's, you know, Sheiky. He's the guy that took down Bob Backlund and then Hulk Hogan and then projected Hulk Hogan on his rocket ship of Hulkamania. And getting that history lesson from my dad, I always have that special bond when it comes to WrestleMania 17.
Yeah, I don't think there's a Hulk Hogan without Iron Sheik, to be
No,
completely honest.
not a doubt, not a doubt. What else? And I can't remember who was the European champion at the time. And William Regal had a match, and it was really, really good. I can't freaking remember it.
I know X-Pac was European champion, D'Lo Brown was European champion.
No, I think X-Pac was defending his light heavyweight title on that one.
Oh, I'm just trying to name off the European champions that I
Yeah,
remember.
I think it might have been him and Chris Jericho.
Okay.
I think that's who it was. Maybe it was the Intercontinental title. Maybe I got the titles mixed up right now. But I knew that they put on a hell of a banger of just a straight wrestling match. You know, a lot of grapples, not too many flashy stuff in that match, and I really enjoyed it, and it was just a spectacular. And then the hardcore, you had the hardcore title match. You had, oh, I think Kane was the champion at the time, or and then Raven was in it, Rhino was in it. Kane threw somebody through a glass window. There was like, and that was back during the 24/7 era too. Like the title was just like, I think it was like a 17-minute match with a time limit. And like five people became hardcore champion, and it just kept going and going until the time ran out. Oh man, it was a good time. I really enjoyed WrestleMania 17. What about you, Dan? What would you say your favorite WrestleMania
So,
was?
I have that memory that you're talking about. When you send us the show format, three things pop to my mind. My first memory of watching WrestleMania, my favorite WrestleMania overall, my favorite WrestleMania moment. I'm going to age myself horribly. The first WrestleMania that I saw was WrestleMania 2.
I thought it was gonna be one.
No, actually what, because for one is someone my dad knew recorded it and then gave us a tape of it. So we watched it after the fact. But WrestleMania 2, I remember my dad took us to a relative's house or someone's house that had one of those boxes that they could unscramble everything. And we watched it and we recorded it and they gave everybody copies of it at the end of the night. So that was my first memory of that was my dad taking us WrestleMania 2. It was really cool, especially the whole change in venues. I really liked the Battle Royal in Chicago, where all the Chicago Bears players were in it. That was really cool. My favorite Mania was WrestleMania 4, the title tournament. Macho Man and Million Dollar Man were two of my favorites. So to watch the WrestleMania 4 and the title tournament was really cool. And then like my favorite moment in WrestleMania history, this may surprise people. It's the Seth Rollins cash-in because it was unpredictable. Like the Daniel Bryan thing, the story was building. It was like, oh, if they don't let him win, it's gonna look bad. The Kofi thing was cool, but if they didn't let him win, it was gonna be bad. Rollins lost on the second match of the card to Randy Orton, but Randy Orton had that badass RKO out of nowhere. But then when he come running down that long ass entrance during the main event, that was so you didn't think he would lose and then come out and win the title. So like that was like my favorite memory from WrestleMania, believe it or not, is the Seth Rollins cash.
No, that cash in was definitely, and I think a lot of people's all-time favorite cash in next to Dolph Ziggler's cash in. So you said it was totally on. I remember I watched that WrestleMania 2 live, and I completely, once that music hit, everybody freaked out in the party. Like nobody could believe it was happening.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, but I think that answer might change this year. I'm really looking forward to the tag team match night one, and we all think it's going to be Bloodline Rules night two. I'm really looking forward to this, but right now I'd say it's the Seth Rollins cash-in.
Jordan, you got anything to add in? I kind of took everything from WrestleMania 17, but
Yeah, well,
any
I mean, that was definitely the first one, but I only remember it because of a different reason, and I'm almost 100% positive that this is how it went for me. I was younger, so I had to go to bed earlier, and so I didn't get to watch the whole thing. And I think the only reason why I didn't get to watch the whole thing is because our mom could care less for wrestling. She would just make fun of us and say it's all fake and everything, and she did not like it. Josh would get heated, get so mad. But that's why I remember 17, because I remember being so mad because I could hear Josh through the wall. Oh my God. And I'm sitting in my bed because I had to go to bed. So that sucked. But that was 17 for sure. But honestly, the new favorite one was probably last year when we all were hanging out and watching it. Like that's just it's so much fun hanging out. It's kind of like I like to think of it as like our like red carpet run, basically. You
Right.
know, because everyone's got new gear, crazy things gonna happen. And it's just we all get to shoot the shit and talk about it and
And that icy title match last year between Drew Gunther and Sheamus was fucking phenomenal. That was great.
I was. And then honestly, probably this year will probably be my new favorite because we get to do it all over again.
Right. And on Saturday night we all got shit faced last year.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
They'll be no
Golly.
different from this Saturday night, though. Night one's going to be crazy, especially when that tag match hits.
Oh my gosh, I cannot wait. I mean, I think, we'll go over the card next week and we'll talk about who we think's going to happen. But man, you almost like you want it to be Bloodline rules for night two.
Yeah, there's
Yeah,
just so much more possibilities
it's
with
just going to
that.
make it so much more interesting. But
What
yeah,
about
last year
the
was fun for sure.
what about a streak match? On a Undertaker WrestleMania match. Do you guys have any favorite ones that really stick out to you? 'Cause, do you want to go, Dan, or I could go? 'Cause I can tell you guys my favorite. I already know mine. My favorite one is definitely CM Punk versus Taker. I think that one was at like 28 or 27. I remember whatever one the twice in a lifetime happened with John Cena and The Rock. That's when it was. That's that when that match went on. And I mean the whole build up to that match was fantastic. Punk stealing the urn and pouring the ashes out on himself on the Raw beforehand, and then at Mania, he came out in the purple and black gear as a slap in the face to Taker. And that was when he was the Paul Heyman. So Paul Heyman was even in the mix in that match.
And fun fact,
Definitely my favorite.
it's been said by both of them, Undertaker wanted CM Punk to go over. CM Punk was like, I'm not going to be the one in this streak. I'm not going to be that one loss in this streak. And also, that was the night that Punk thought him and Undertaker deserved a main event WrestleMania. And isn't that when he, quote unquote, took his ball and went home?
Yep. Yeah. After that, everything started going downhill. They did the Ryback story and all that BS. But yeah, they definitely stole the show. That was the best match of the night.
What
I
did
think. Go ahead, David.
was it did AJ Styles fight Taker during the streak, or was that a different run?
I mean, it still counts. It wasn't during the streak. The streak was over, but that match was dope. That's the
Yeah.
cinematic match with Taker and AJ. That was
Yeah.
really good.
Yeah, I thought that was freaking sweet.
I think the one that was most memorable to me was Brock beating him. No
Yeah.
one expected that. And the look of the guy at ringside, that was a shock, the fan. No one thought. And Paul Heyman made it so much better. People actually thought that it wasn't supposed to go down that way, and that Taker was really supposed to win because of Paul Heyman's reaction. That's why Paul Heyman is the absolute one of the best in the business, and why he deserves the headline this year's Hall of Fame. He made that look like it wasn't supposed to happen, and between his reaction, that fan's reaction, I think to me, and no one thought Brock Lesnar was going to beat him. If Triple H, Shawn Michaels, I mean, run down the list, couldn't beat Undertaker. There's no way Brock's doing it. No way would think Brock would be the one to beat the streak. But that, to me, was the most memorable because you did not expect it at all.
Oh, without a doubt. The memory with me on that match was, again, I was at a party with friends. We were watching Mania, and after that three hit and Brock won, you literally could have dropped a pen. It was so silent inside the household. I mean, everybody was hooting and hollering the whole time, and then that three count hit, and it was just silent for about 5 minutes. Before anybody even realized what actually just happened, like everybody was in shock.
Yeah, to think that that's how the streak would have ended. And then the other cool one, wasn't it Roman when he left his boots in the ring and that was his last full-time match?
Yeah.
That was pretty cool too. That was part of the passing the torch from, over to Roman. And then he leaves his boots in the ring at the end. Or was it his boots or was it his gloves?
I think it was the gloves and hat.
He left the
Yeah,
gloves
hat.
and hat in the ring, yeah. And that was the end of his like more, and I think he was still part-time then, but he was more regular.
Yeah, I
That
think
was
after
when,
that he just did like Saudi Arabia and that was it.
yeah,
Yeah,
that was
pretty
like
much.
the end of him really being active for the
Yeah,
most.
and you also got the glimpses of what Roman Reigns was going to be coming during that match too. Like you
Right.
go back and rewatch it now, you could see certain spots where it's like, "Oh shit. Roman was actually the one calling this match at certain points in time." Like at the end there, the end was supposed to be Roman putting another a tombstone on Taker. But Taker was so exhausted he couldn't even get himself up, and Roman couldn't hit it on him. And you could see Roman changing it to a Superman punch and then a spear for the win instead
Right.
of putting him down with a tombstone, which worked a lot better because I would have been pretty pissed off if he did win on a tombstone on Taker, and that would have been his final hurrah at Manias.
Yeah, that would have been weird. But knowing what we do all these years later with Roman Reigns would have been the guy to beat Taker with the tombstone.
Yeah.
Because Roman Reigns is bigger than anything. I think you could argue that he's means more to the WWE than Hulk Hogan did in that room. And
Definitely.
that's an
I would
argument to
agree with
have.
that.
That's definitely an argument to have. I can't say definitively I'm right or not, but it's definitely an argument to who's means the most to WWE in the history, if it's Roman or if it's Hogan.
I would definitely agree with that. And that was kind of, I think that that was also like the end of the, or was that the start of the big dog era of when Roman was the big dog? And then he, I think, got the cancer, came back, and then retired for a second, and then came back as the tribal chief, or
Yeah.
the built up to the tribal
Right,
chief.
right.
An
Exactly.
obscure. Oh, go ahead, Jordan.
I was gonna say that was just after COVID, wasn't it? The tribal chief, because he went out for
During
COVID
COVID.
too.
Yeah, I think it might
Or
have been
during?
during COVID.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I know he took a break because of COVID, and he's got the health issues and everything.
Yeah,
So.
he did take a little bit of, but I think he was already the tribal chief and the champion.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think that they were just starting to build into this bloodline story here.
Yeah, because I think that was when he was gone, was when Jimmy and Jay were the tag champs and they had all those matches with New Day. And then
Yeah.
cage match with New Day.
And McIntyre was the champion.
He was
Oh,
the
yeah,
other
that's
champion,
right.
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
An obscure Mania match that I really enjoyed, except for I couldn't stand the ending to it. It really pissed me off. Was, I think it was 29. I know it was the New York, New Jersey show. Ryback versus Mark Henry. I thought that that match was, the build up to it was excellent because they kept doing like the strongman competitions, like who could bench the most. They flipped a who could pull a car, stuff like that. And then the match happened, and it was just two of the biggest, bulkiest dudes just beating the shit out of each other. And the ending sucked because Ryback went to go do his finisher and basically caved under Mark Henry's weight, and then Mark Henry pinned him for the 1-2-3 right there. It wasn't like the ending I would have liked to have seen happen. But that was an off the wall match that I really enjoyed, that I think a lot of people forgot about and probably definitely wouldn't say would be their favorite, but I enjoyed it.
I believe it was WrestleMania 11, Goldust versus Piper in the back lot match.
With the OJ chase.
Yeah. That was like the first, like, Jordan mentioned AJ and Taker in that cinematography match. That was kind of the first one on a big stage for WWE. And how they filmed all of it, and then they finished it at the arena. They
Yeah.
filmed the rest of it ahead of time, and they finished it at the arena. But when Goldust got there, he's done interviews. I think Piper's done them too about it, where that very first punch that Piper laid in on Goldust, like they were. said, you know, we really have to punch each other to make this look real in this, you know, back lot and this staged kind of scenario. Piper broke his hand punching Goldust right at the beginning of it. And it was filmed probably earlier in the week, maybe the week before. And then when they finished the match at Mania, then Piper had a broken hand and he couldn't do anything more than how they had it taped for what they filmed in the back lot. So he wrestled the end of that match with a broken hand. So but that was a really cool thing with the chase and the Goldust had the gold car and you know and all that. So that was pretty cool. And then he hit Piper with the car, like legit hit him with the car. You know, and then but yeah, that was really cool too. I just thought about that when Jordan brought up the Undertaker AJ match.
A good one. I don't know if it was Ray Mania or not. Probably, I don't know, but it was Finn Balor when he came out as the thing, the creature.
The
What was his?
Demon
The
Balor.
demon. Yeah, demon
That
Balor.
was versus the Fiend.
Okay, there you
Wasn't
go.
it? Yeah,
And it
Fiend
was
and Demon Balor fought at WrestleMania.
okay, that was pretty cool. And I think it was they he just what was it blacked out or whatever. He was unconscious. He never tapped.
Yeah.
Pretty sure
Yeah,
that's
because
how
he
it
did the
was.
ma that was when the Fiend was doing the mandible claw as the finisher.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
There you go. That was pretty sweet. That was a dark one.
That's something else. Like, I don't know if you want to wait till after the ad break to talk about it, but they're putting that documentary out next week.
Yeah,
Oh
about
yeah.
Bray.
That looked really good with Bo Dallas doing the initial, and I think they said Undertaker's narrating it. But like Bo Dallas was in the trailer and he's got a big part of it and Taker's narrating it. Because I know Taker thought really highly of Bray Wyatt and what he could do. I think that now after we find out he passed and he had that heart issue, like that, you know, defect or whatever it was, now we understand why his runs got halted. It was because he got sick.
Yeah.
And then his run would get halted. He'd be at the height of something, and then the run would be halted. And then he'd come back and build himself back up on something different because he would never would do the same thing twice. He always reanimated himself. We got to the end where the Firefly Funhouse became alive, and then the Uncle Howdy, and that was really cool.
Another great cinema match from WrestleMania. John Cena and and Bray Wyatt when they went through the trilogies of each other.
Oh, they went through all the phases. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome. I know that they got a lot of crap online, but I thought that match was fantastic. You had the flashes of heel Cena and then chain gang Cena. And then he was going through the Firefly Funhouse and
But
there was
I think that mania gets a lot of heat just because it was the pandemic and there was no way.
Yeah.
Although I think it's looked on as a negative anyway. Because it was what it was.
Yeah, just like the Mountain Dew Blackout match with him and LA Knight. I know it wasn't a WrestleMania, but I know people really did weren't fans of that, and I thought it was fantastic.
Then the match, I think it was at Mania. Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt.
Yes, when the flashes came across, they did the overhead shot and the stuff was on the canvas.
Yeah, the snakes.
Yep.
And then didn't they start it at the house? Didn't they find the house first?
Yeah, because Randy Orton burned it down.
Yeah, that was dope too.
Yeah, man. WrestleMania always produces good shit. Always. You know, kind of like what Jordan said, everybody has their new flashy gear. You always get a new flashy entrance or like a live band who does the theme songs for the guys. They'll be there. I'm really excited for this year's Mania. Real excited for it.
Always.
Anything else, flashback manias you guys can think of before we go into the ad read?
No, let's get into the ad read and then we'll touch on a couple more Mania things.
Let's get it.
Everything Pro Wrestling Edge, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at PWE Pod. We have a Brainbuster Tees store. Go over to Brainbuster Tees, go to the other section, you'll find us there. We couldn't do this without our partners, Nine Planets Comics and Collectibles. You can find them at 20702 Van Born Road in Dearborn Heights, Michigan. Give them a call at 313-724-6482. And you can find them at Nine Planets, the number nine, planetshome.com. They do some pretty cool unboxings on social media of their new merch coming in. They do a lot of wrestling stuff, but take a visit to the store and tell them PWE sent you. So I know before the ad break we were talking Mania, and I said I wanted to touch on a couple more Mania things. You mentioned right before the break, typically a band plays somebody in. We've had Kid Rock's been there. Didn't he play Taker
Undertaker.
when Taker was American Badass?
Yep.
Yeah.
Undertaker, Limp Bizkit, Rolling.
Colt
Oh, yeah. Limp
Colt's
Bizkit.
personality was they play, or what's the name of the band that sings Colt's
Is
personality?
it li In Living Color or
In
Living
Living
Color, I
Color,
think?
they sung CM Punk in.
It's,
And one guitarist lady, she played Nakamura in one year.
Oh yeah, that was wicked.
Lena Strauss, I think, is her name.
Yeah,
She
I can't remember.
played
Yeah,
Nakamura in one year with his song, because I think she did the guitar riff for it. Um,
played
the
Bad
rumor is,
Reputation.
what, Jordan?
Bad Reputation for
Yep, John Cena
Ronda.
played in
Ronda.
Ronda. Yeah, so there's been a lot of them. The rumor is night two, Cody's getting sung in.
Ooh, that'd be
That's the
wicked.
rumor. Downstate
Really?
is going to be singing Cody in. They did a song. They've done a lot of AEW songs, and before that they did a lot of WWE songs too. After WWE got rid of the in-house, what was his name? Jim Johnson, that did all the stuff. So that's the rumor. Cody's going to be sung in. If Cody's going to be sung in on night two, probably not going to lose,
Yeah.
and then he'll finish the story. But we'll see. But that's the rumor that he's getting sung in night two.
That'd be cool as shit, 'cause like the best way for that would be like to play it and then just cut all the music at the whoa part and just let the crowd take that over and then pick it right back up after that. That'd be sick.
So I have a question for you guys when it comes to that match. We are gonna assume Roman and Rock are winning night one, and it's gonna be Bloodline rules, because they wouldn't even make that a stipulation if it's not gonna be Bloodline. I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't think they'd make a stipulation like that. So would you think Roman comes out first because they're playing Cody in, and all the Bloodline come out with Roman? Rock and Solo and Jimmy and the whole crew comes out, and then they play Rock Live. And remember, at All In, Cody had a thing. Well, Dusty started it. In the wrestling, the thing was, in the wrestling business, you can count your friends on one hand, five friends. And Cody had five people walk him out to the show. It was, his brother-in-law, his father-in-law, DDP, Tommy Dreamer. I forget who
Was
the
it
other.
Arn Anderson? Wasn't Arn one, unless he's the related?
I think it was just that because he was his manager. Maybe it was Pharaoh. They just counted the dog, but they had five people walk him out. Do you think they do it that way, and Cody brings who's going to have his back out with him?
I think that would be awesome. I do
Yeah.
hope that since The Rock's been
Especially.
talking, I'm glad you brought up Pharaoh, because I know The Rock's been talking shit about him. So I hope that he does walk out with Pharaoh at least, or
So,
Pharaoh comes out.
especially at the beginning where they say wrestling has more than one royal family, which is really what
Yeah.
they're pushing this. This is where I think who's going to be with Cody walks out with him. Because I think this is the golden opportunity that you have. Cody walks out with Pharaoh. You have Jey Uso. You have Sammy. You have Seth. Then you get Dustin.
I completely agree with that, especially like how we were talking on Friday Night SmackDown, how they already teased Dustin when Roman brought up the Shield and Cody says, "Do you remember who the first team was to beat the Shield? The last name was Rhodes."
And you guys saw on social media that Dustin Rhodes was talking about they were having next showcase for the Dustin Rhodes Academy, and they were having the tag titles on the line, the first ever tag title match. And apparently, there's nephews to Dustin and Cody who are wrestling as Rhodes. I don't know if they're the sisters' boys or how they figure into the family, but they're two young guys, and their names are Rhodes. Dustin called them his nephews, and they were in the match for the title. And Dustin was showing the titles, the tag titles for the Rhodes Academy. He said he's told the camera to come in close, and he goes, "Fuck the Rock." So it's just these little hints. The other thing, his contract's up in September in AEW, so he still has a few months left. However, there was supposedly a deal worked out for AEW to use some of Sting's footage for his last match, which was owned by WWE because of WCW. There was WCW footage used during his, during the whole thing lead up to his last match. So they used WCW footage, which they would have had to have got permission from WWE. Now, WWE has done this in the past where they've made deals with the one that really is TNA. TNA inducted somebody, or no, WWE induct one of them inducted somebody in the Hall of Fame, and someone who was under contract with the other company came in and was the one to induct the person. I want to say Flair was with TNA and they inducted someone and Flair inducted them, I think is what it was. Flair got to come to the Hall of Fame ceremony and induct the person, or it could be the opposite. Someone from WWE came to TNA to induct him. They've had Jordynne Grace in the Royal Rumble. They've had Mickie James Rumble. So they've WWE has worked out favors with other companies to do things. And what more of a favor could you have of getting to use Sting footage than we want Dustin as part of the story?
Especially if he's finishing it, that would be perfect.
Now he's got his school now. He's got his Rhodes Wrestling Academy. They do shows every month, kind of like the reality of wrestling, like Booker T's got. He's got that whole setup where they do shows from the classes and whatnot. And
And
they put
Dustin's
it
been
out.
off TV for a while now.
Yeah, he helps behind the scenes. He's wrestled a little bit, but for the most part, he's been off this off camera. And that I think that has a lot to do with he even says he's still in really good shape. I think the focus more is in the school. And really boosting that up. And maybe he does take a role behind the scenes, but even if his contract is up and he doesn't re-sign with AEW, which to me would be smart for him to re-sign with AEW, if he could just take a backstage consultant role to where he can devote his time to his wrestling school and still get a steady paycheck without having to wrestle every week like he would if he went back to WWE. There's also been rumors that MJF, he's been removed. All of his merch has been removed because they all along have been selling his merch, AEW, on their website. It's gone now. I also heard that his recovery is going slow because he opted not to have surgery on his torn labrum, and he opted to heal it and do physical therapy. But there's been rumors that he's going to be at Mania to help Cody. Because remember, AEW, when there was always people accompanying him, How many times was it Dustin, DDP, and MJF back before MJF turned on Cody, that MJF always was there with Cody? And there's a history there. You know, Cody is the one who pushed for him to get hired at AEW. So there's been rumors about him. I don't know. I really don't know where I fall on that, if he's going to WWE or not. He's going back to AEW, or if he is, just his injuries is taking longer because he didn't want to do the surgery. But that's another rumor that's been floated out there, that MJF might be at Mania. I don't know. But I think for sure, I think it would be awesome if Dustin is there. Especially the bloodline, family, and all that. It would just make sense. And maybe Seth won't be able to be out there. That's why I said maybe Sammy's out there because he played a part in the bloodline storyline. But you know, because there's talk about Damian Priest might, there's a big thing out there that Damian Priest is going to cash in during that match and win the title. That's a new thing that's been floating around. Seth might not be able to because that's going to be night two as well. They have Sammy and Jay Russell on night one. They could easily be with Cody, and it would be fitting to have Sammy out there with them, being he was part of that storyline. You're kind of taking him out of it right now and put Seth in it. I think it was just to try to keep Seth and that title relevant, but Sammy fits that story better than Seth does. So night
Yeah,
two, I would
definitely.
love to see Sammy out there with him and not Seth.
Yeah, Sammy would definitely make more sense because he has played a huge part in this Bloodline storyline. So he would definitely make sense. Obviously, Jay,
I
that
mean,
would be
Sammy was the
perfect.
honorary Uso.
And again, like Dustin's the main one that I would love to see because I heard that MJF, if he does come to WWE, I think he would be the surprise, the big surprise the night after WrestleMania,
Right.
You know how the night after WrestleMania, Monday Night Raw is always so hot. They always bring somebody back. They always have something big planned for that day. And I've seen rumors that that was, if he does come, that's going to be the day that it happens.
So, if Cody does beat Roman, which everyone's, ex I don't think everyone, but a lot of people are expecting to happen, does he flip and go to SmackDown? Or does the winner of the other title go to SmackDown?
Honestly, I think that he would have to go to SmackDown, really, because I well,
Let's say Drew
I don't well
wins.
Roman's on SmackDown more than he is on Raw, so I would have to say he would just still be going to SmackDown.
But I wouldn't think Roman would be the next in line to get a title shot.
No, I'm saying like right now, he's been
But
on more SmackDowns versus
they could
Raws.
easily put McIntyre with that title on SmackDown, because usually there are some changes made throughout the year. Maybe they put McIntyre or Damian Priest on
I
Friday
think Priest.
SmackDown. Whoever wins that title, then Cody stays on. Maybe Mondays work better for Cody with his schedule. I don't know. But that was the other thing. If Cody wins, both of the champions are on the quote unquote Raw roster.
Yeah, that is true. That's something that I haven't even thought about, honestly.
Because I think this would be the time to separate Cody from the Bloodline storyline. You keep him on Raw, you move Drew, or if Priest cashes in to SmackDown, because you're going to have Roman and Rock.
And
That's
you can
the
also split the bloodline Judgment Day too. Like that's got to be coming up.
I've said
You
that.
know, Priest cashes in, gets a title, he goes to SmackDown as the
Finn
number
and
one. Him
Damian
and McIntyre can continue that feud going into SmackDown while
can
Cody stays
be
on
the tag
Raw.
team. And then you can have Mommy and Dom, their own thing. So I don't know, just some thought. I think that might be the move, is Cody stays on Raw and Drew or Damian Priest, if he cashes in. Because I'm do my predictions next week. I think Damian Priest and Finn lose the tag titles in this ladder.
Yeah, so do I. So do I. And I've seen rumors that the Hardy Boys might be coming. I mean, I truly don't think so, but both their contracts will be up. Matt's already been seen on at Raw in the box. So a
So,
lot of people are leaning towards rumors that the Hardy Boys might be making, kind of like when they came back at what was it, 37 or whatever.
I heard though that Tony Khan added time on a Jeff's contract for when he was injured.
Oh, really? Okay.
So, from what I'm hearing, Jeff is not out of his contract. Matt Hardy is really soon, but Jeff's not. There's been talk about Matt might sign a short-term extension to where him and Jeff are out at the same time. But from what I heard, there was another 8 or 9 months tacked on to Jeff's
Oh,
contract.
yeah. So he got basically this whole year still there.
You're right. Right. So I don't see Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy having a place in the WWE.
No, honestly, I would like to see them go back to TNA, really.
I mean,
If they don't stay at AEW, if they choose to leave, I would like to see them go to TNA again.
well, the big free agents that are going to be on the market are the Machine Guns. Their contracts are up April 1st, and apparently at the last taping, they had a like going away party for them behind backstage. So they're going to be free agents. However, Alex Shelley filed for trademarks for Motor City Machine Gun and MCMG. If they're filing for their own trademark and they're going to trademark that, you wouldn't think they're going to WWE because WWE would just tell them they can't use it.
Yeah, they would probably turn them into something else.
So to me, it would make sense if they're going to trademark it, they're going to do the whole let's go to AEW, let's go to New Japan, let's go, let's fight wherever. And not sign a deal. That's where you're gonna see him, I think it'd be awesome. I think Valen by Design retain the tag titles at GCW Detroit this weekend. Maybe you see him in GCW against Valen by Design. Or not Valen by Design, Dominic Greeny, isn't he the tag champs?
Dominic Greeny and
What's
Kevin
their
Koo.
names? Yeah, what's their names?
I can't think of it off the top of my head, but I know exactly who
But
you're talking. It's Violent something.
yeah, they regained. I'm almost positive. Maybe you see the Machine Guns doing, going to GCW and having matches and just going wherever and doing the thing where, because I know Alex Shelley has said he's not giving up his full-time job. What he does full-time, so he's not looking for a full-time schedule. I don't believe he's going to do that because from what I heard, he loves his job. He lives not far from us in the Metro Detroit area, and he loves his job. He's in rehab and rehabilitation, physical therapy, and training and personal trainer and all that kind of stuff. So I don't see WWE for them, but they're going to be a hot name out there. Would love to see him come to AEW. I'd love to see the Machine Guns versus the Revival or FTR. I'd love to see that match.
Violence is forever. That's what
Violence is
their
forever. I
name
knew it was
is.
something violence. I don't know why I said Violent by Design. That
It
was
was bugging me. I think Violent by Design is the
Cody Deaner and
TNA,
them.
Cody Deaner's group.
Yeah,
Yeah.
but I don't think they're together no more. I don't think they're a team. But yeah, I would love to see like FTR and Machine Guns, and then Machine Guns go to Japan and. And maybe they still wrestle matches in TNA, but just not under contract with them.
Yeah, just do the swing ins.
But, I think that's the big tag team out there. Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy, I don't think there's a spot for a WWE. So, is there even really a spot for him in TNA? Because you got the Grizzled Young Veterans there, you've got the Rascals. There's a lot of good tag teams in TNA. Hotch and the Good Hands. You have a
Yeah,
lot of
they
good
got a lot of
guys.
young talent there.
Yeah, so like to bring in the Hardys, I don't think that's really, I don't know. I don't see much for the Hardys except if they can re-sign with AEW. But Tony Khan might not want them when their contracts are up.
Yeah, you never know.
Let's re-sign Matt to match up with Jeff Hardy's contract. Maybe give him another run because they're doing that tag team tournament, and the Hardys aren't in that. But
Yeah.
like, it looks like they're setting up whoever wins that will get their first challengers will be Moxley and Claudio. I think will be their first challengers because they pulled them from the tournament because Mox is taking some time away from AEW because he has some commitments in Mexico and Japan.
Yep.
So he's not going to be wrestling AEW for a little bit, but I think Claudio and him will get the first shots once that tournament's over.
And actually, speaking of tag teams, we got to keep pushing for the Pillars to be in the NWA
Crockett.
Crockett Cup going on.
So we want the Pillars and the Crockett Cup, and we want MM3 and the King of the Kill deathmatch tournament.
That's right. That's
But
right.
the Pillars torn up
Absolutely.
this past weekend in Detroit for GCW. The announcers put them over pretty good, which was nice to hear. But yeah, it was cool to see them GCW, and I think that, you know, I know there's I talked to Malcolm at the last HorrorSlam show, and they've got some pretty cool stuff planned, he said, for the rest of the year. Places that they're traveling to, they're going out of the country. They've got some pretty cool stuff going on. So, and it looks like they are going to be taking more bookings as a tag team than singles going forward for the time being. And I think that's awesome.
Definitely, they're hot tag team right now. We posted it earlier. They're the best tag team running the ropes right now on the
Right.
indies, without a doubt.
I think the Pillars and the Motor City Machine Guns at GCW would be awesome.
Oof, that'd be sick. That would be
That would be
sick.
awesome.
Hell yeah.
Some mix of styles.
Well,
But
with that,
no,
I think we can go ahead and finish off this episode with a peace. We out.